Paul Stenhouse in New York.
Kia ora, kia ora. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. A few bits and pieces from the technology world that we want to work through this morning. But let's start off with Amazon's new contactless stores. Is that what you call them? They're like the stores where you don't actually have to pay anyone, kind of.
No, there's no one. You basically walk in, grab your stuff and walk out. They're calling it the, excuse me, the store of the future. It's awesome. It's a convenience store. It's got food and all sorts of other bits and pieces in it. You quite simply scan your phone as you walk in. You go through like a one of those like security gates. You know, usually you might use them at your office to scan in and the door opens up type of thing. You go in through one of those. There are cameras in the ceiling. They're tracking what you pick up from the shelves. There's sensors there. It's all very high tech. And then you simply just walk out the door and your phone is charged and away you go. It's that simple.
They're advertising this as like a store without queues. Of course, the irony was that the first day they opened it, there was an enormous queue outside for everyone who wanted to try the queueless store.
Yeah, isn't that funny? It's funny how people queue for things these days in 2018 as everything tries to go more digital and they try to get rid of a queue. Of course, when there's a new iPhone, there's a queue for days.
Yeah.
It's kind of bizarre. Amazon said, hey, look, obviously there aren't people working behind the checkout, so what happens to those people? They have said that they get assigned to, quote, other tasks. So
yeah,
I assume they have a really good, a well-stocked store because there's lots of people making sure there's lots of items on the shelves, one would assume.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it does seem to work relatively smoothly at the moment, although, you know, I still don't think the self-checkout thing has been nailed. So it'll be interesting to see if there are some hitches in this that people work out. You know how, like, with the self-checkouts at the supermarket, you know, a lot of people go in and they tell the machine that they're buying peanuts when they're buying cashews, or you know, and then make up with heaps of them. I'm sure there'll be some faults that people will look to exploit, but this could well indeed be the store of the future. Let's talk drone racing. What is drone racing, and is it really seriously a sport?
Well, everything's a sport these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is cool. So your drone is the thing that you get, and it flies in the air. It's got the, you know, it's like a quadcopter. It's got the rotors like a helicopter. And,
yeah, it's what all the kids wanted for Christmas this year.
Totally. Who didn't want one? The thing is that I've never really known what I'd do with a drone. You know, like, you can attach a camera to it and take some photos. Cool, like, that might be good to do, but, like, what else do you do with it? But this is what you do with it, clearly.
Yeah, apparently you race them.
You do. There was, of course, in Las Vegas, this was held, a championship to win $50,000. 32 people gathered. And this is kind of crazy because they fly.
Yeah.
They fly up to 130 kilometers an hour. They are indoors, and they're flying through these rings that are suspended from the ceiling.
Yeah.
So have you ever seen those, like, Red Bull, you know, the Red Bull planes that fly through those crazy courses? Imagine that, but with drones.
Yeah.
And people are flying these things. People are starting to go pro with this. This is the crazy thing. People were sponsored.
You know, haven't they been competing with the old pod races from Star Wars?
Have they?
Yeah, because it's kind of similar in that you have to go through the hoops. I think that's how they do it. Yeah, it is kind of cool.
I just thought of Sonic the Hedgehog.
But the complicated thing is you have to think in three dimensions when you're racing them, don't you?
I think it would be absolutely incredibly difficult because you are indoors for one, which seems bizarre. And if you're just standing there with your remote control, like, that must be really difficult to keep your eye on both where it's flying in the real world and then also where it's going, probably because you have a little screen seeing where it's headed from a first-person point of view. It was won, $50,000 by a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So that is the future of drone racing.
Yeah.
They start young.
That's interesting. And I found an answer of what you do with your drone. Apparently you use it for fishing. That's what my brother-in-law is doing with his drone. So he's got a special little mechanism that takes the fishing line all the way out beyond the breakers and then can come back in again. And you can kind of, you know, map when the stingrays are coming in and try and follow them like that. So there probably are some legitimate applications. Hey, we've been learning a lot about sleep thanks to a fitness band. We talked a little bit about this last week. People, I know, wear Fitbits to track their activity and all that sort of thing. But you had a little pop quiz with some of the information that came out of the fitness band that these people have been wearing. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yeah, so if people are wearing their Fitbits not only when they're exercising, because that's obviously interesting, but you can also wear it when you go to sleep and it starts to tell you what type of sleep you've had and the quality of sleep. So yeah. Are you thrashing around or are you, you know, lying silently and having a good night's sleep? So Fitbit, they looked at 6 million nights of sleep, which they're saying this is sort of a sleep study that they've never had before or the world's never had before, because how on earth do you usually track people's sleep? It's usually in some lab and no one sleeps properly if they're connected to some machine. So this is super interesting. So the pop quiz for you, Jack.
Okay.
You have to think very carefully about this one. This could land you in trouble. Who do you think sleeps longer, men or women?
Men.
Women.
Okay.
6 hours, 50 minutes is the average to a man's 6 hours and 26 minutes.
Oh, okay. Right. There you go.
So this was conducted in the United States. Which U.S. city has the most consistent wake-up time?
Minneapolis.
No, New York City.
Oh, really?
Would you believe?
Okay, yeah,
then Dallas, L.A. and Chicago. Oh, okay. Miami and Seattle were the least consistent.
Right.
Which U.S. city has the worst social jet lag, they call it? So these are the people who get up at crazy different times during the weekday versus the weekend.
San Francisco.
No, Boston. Because they think it's the student population.
Yeah, of course, students.
Yep. So, what is America's bedtime?
Okay, America's bedtime, I reckon it's going to be 10 p.m.
They're up later. They're up till 11:21.
Oh, see, that's why they've got an obesity problem, isn't it? Because they're not getting nearly
Because they're up too late eating food.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting. All right, thank you so much, Paul.